Yeah, it looks like it is.
Okay, so what's today's April 14th?
14th.
All right. April 14th. Everybody's here except for Chuck.
Chuck's here too.
Oh, Chuck's here too.
Well, I, let's see, somebody pray.
Okay.
Yes, Lord, by your Spirit. We ask your blessings on our time now,
yes,
Lord. Bless it, Lord.
Yes.
Bless it with
your
truth. Bless it with your light on your word, O Lord. Bless it with that spirit of revelation that you have been so faithful in providing to us, Lord. And Lord, open our ears, open our hearts to receive the good things that you have for your children. Oh, by your Spirit. Is that good word?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
There's a scripture that I mentioned the other day, and I thought it was in the New Testament, and I think it maybe is somewhere. But it's in Psalms 78:25. And let me read some other scriptures along with it in the same setting. We're talking about Israel being in the wilderness, okay? And it says, they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Remember, they wanted the quail? They wanted meat. And so God sent a quail up to their waist, I think. And they said, they spake against God. And they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. He was angry. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. But he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them on the corn of the heaven. Man did eat angels' food. Remember I mentioned something about that? I couldn't remember where I saw it. Man did eat angel food. Mm. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came down upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for their wonder, for his wondrous work. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. Anyway, right, going to go on. It just shows their problems in the wilderness. But he gave them angels' food. And that's what he called them, manna.
Yeah, for some reason I had 23 through 25 bracketed.
You saw it sometime too.
Yeah, way back when. I don't remember doing it.
Yeah. Maybe about the same time that I saw it.
No, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I never mentioned it, I don't think. I think part of what caught my attention is the fact that he commanded the clouds and opened the doors of heaven. Given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. That's the way the New King James.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked over at 40. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert.
Yeah.
Yes, again and again they tempted God. Limited the Holy One of Israel.
I have been getting more and more understanding of the baptism that I never understood it. I baptized a lot of people, but I never understood what we were doing. And you know, back in Deuteronomy, Moses said, and then God said, God said it both times, but he told Moses, he says, I'm gonna send a prophet like unto you from among the people. He's gonna come out of Israel, and he says, and when he comes, hearken to him, listen to him, hear what he has to say. And then it's repeated, and then God said to Moses, he says, I am going to put my words in his mouth. But the thing about it, he is called a prophet. Mm-hmm. A prophet doesn't speak of being God. A prophet is one that God uses. Yeah, I'm going to send a prophet, and God's going to send a prophet like unto me.
I think Peter repeated that same.
They called him a prophet.
Yeah, in one of the times that he was talking.
He's referring back to Deuteronomy?
Peter, I think so, yeah.
Deuteronomy 18.
Yeah, it's in Acts, but.
It's
and he calls him a servant, too, but.
Yeah. Would it have been there on the. Sermon on the Day of Pentecost?
Yeah, it's around that, or else when he repeated it again, you know, later.
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians 10, Charlie, in that many translations,
okay.
What does it say in chapter 10, verse 2?
Okay. Let me see. The NIV says they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Okay.
And do another one here. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea.
Into it.
It looks as though, as followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. That's a New Living Translation. Whether or not that's better or not, I don't know. But well, New Century Version is the same thing. They were all baptized as followers of Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Maybe baptized into Moses is basically that same meaning. Baptized as followers of.
Well, it says unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
It's a little different meaning, isn't it? Baptized as opposed to say all baptized as followers of Moses.
But I think that the way it's worded in the King James, and I think it means into or unto or whatever else.
Yeah.
And as such, we are baptized into Christ and unto Christ. That's what baptism is. We are baptized. You know. And let me read this first. In 1 Corinthians, what it says in the first verse and on, it says, our fathers, we have you ignorant, brethren, that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual rock drink. For that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as they, some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. You know, they took the, they had Aaron take the silver and gold that was given to him in Egypt and make idols out of them.
Yeah.
And so it says God was not well pleased. Well, I can see where he wouldn't be. But you know, we slowly we begin from the scriptures to get a picture of the nature of God. And I want to show you something. I'm looking for that great big book of Jonah. What does it follow?
I had a hard time finding it that last time, and then I went, oh, it's right there.
Somewhere around Daniel, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah,
Obadiah,
Nahum,
yeah.
Habakkuk,
Obadiah,
Zephaniah. Well, that was good,
Pablo. What is it after?
Obadiah. So it's kind Obadiah. Of in the middle of the shorter version of prophets.
There. Amos, Obadiah, after Hosea, after Joel, after way after Daniel, like four or five books after Daniel.
Was it after Amos?
Right after Amos.
Right after Amos?
Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah. Page 591.
Okay. Now, Jonah got angry with God because God wouldn't destroy Nineveh. And so, at the very end, which I looked at the back at the end of this book, and I thought, you know, that's a strange way for a book to end. But I thought, no, it's not. What it does, it gives us a little bit of the nature of God and what he's like and how forgiving he is, how loving he is. And whoops, I didn't find it. I still didn't find it. I found it, but I didn't find it. No, I still don't have it.
Keep going, past Obadiah.
It's past Obadiah?
It's right after, at the end, of, right after Obadiah. Because Obadiah isn't real long either.
Okay,
there.
I got it. Oh, I did have it once. But anyway, Jonah, because Nineveh had been such a pain in the wherever to the Israelites, Jonah didn't want God to save him. He wanted God to destroy him. Kind of like James and John when they said, can we call down fire from heaven and destroy these people? And anyway, so now here God is defending
the Ninevites.
I had it in the back of my head, but I couldn't say it. But anyway, so God is defending the Ninevites, and they repented. And I, you know what? I think I could understand this a little bit, why they maybe would have. You know, they don't have the communication that we have today, but at the same time, they must have known that Jonah was going to come and preach to them. And so he refused to, and he got on this ship, and he went out in the sea, And the sailors by then had to tell them that they got out here and they said, throw this man overboard. And when they threw him overboard, this was it. I mean, just imagine. I mean, we're speculating, but just something had to happen. So when Jonah stood up there and began to preach to them, they'd listen. Would it be like God to do that? So that they knew that this man had been eaten by a whale? And here he was now preaching to him to repent. Mm. Would you repent if that happened, if you were in that place? Mm. I think so. Okay, so now God is defending the Ninevites. And he said to Noah, or to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd, or for the gourd? God planted a gourd that grew up in overnight with great big leaves, so Jonah could have the shade during the day while it was hot. But that night, the gourd just disappeared. It withered away. But Jonah said, he told God, he says, he wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, You do well to be angry with the, or do you well to, are you, is it good to be angry with the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, okay, now just three verses. Then said the Lord, you had pity on the gourd, for the which thou had not labored, you did make it grow, neither which came up in the night and perished in the night, and you didn't have anything to do with it. And the last verse, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, which are more than 60,000 persons, and then here's the key, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I just don't know what's up.
Wasn't it a good thing for me to spare these people? They can't tell the difference with their right hand and their left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't even know who they are. They're just, they're ignorant. So I spared them in their ignorance. Is that kind of what he says?
Oh, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it gives us a little bit, you know, of the nature of God. He knows what the heart is.
Sure.
So if he sees the people in that condition, he might have more pity on them than he would on those that aren't in that condition, you know?
He sure went through a lot of effort to get Jonah to prophesy to him.
Yeah.
Preach to him or whatever.
Well, I've heard of Nineveh over, you know, in other places in the Bible, but I never placed it as a real threat, yeah, enemy or threat to the Jews.
Later on, though, like 300-400 years later, I think God destroyed them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they turned away.
Uh-huh.
I remember I read that somewhere.
I don't remember.
I don't know how I would find it, though. I was just reading and reading and reading and, you know. And then all of a sudden they went, oh, wait a minute, this is that Nineveh that was part of Jonah that was saved. What happened? Well, let's see, if it's in because that's not that far from let's see.
Well,
Micah, Jonah. So Jonah. I would think if you just looked at Nineveh, it would give the different places it's referenced.
I'm half thinking that Jesus referred to Nineveh. Well, he did, I guess, in connection with when he says, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Yeah, I think he did.
He did. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it makes any reference to his later being destroyed, but.
Well, I think he still would have used the reference whether or not they.
Whether something helped with later on or not. Yeah, you're right.
So God brought the Jews out of
it. Okay. Nahum. First verse. The burden against Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum Elkoshite. But I'll have to read more to see what it says.
How do you spell Nineveh?
N-I-N-E-V-E-H. See. Well, I think this whole book is prophesying against Nineveh, and in chapter 12, verse 12, thus says the Lord, though they are safe and likewise many, yet in this manner they will be cut down. When he passes through, though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more, for now I'll break off his yoke from you and burst your bonds apart. The Lord has given a command concerning you, your name shall be perpetuated no longer. Out of the house of your gods, I will cut off the carved image and the molded image. I will dig your grave, for you are vile. Hmm. Let's see. Yeah, and over in chapter 2, verse 8, though Nineveh of old was like a pool of water, now they flee away. Halt, halt, they cry, but no one turns back. Take spoil of silver, take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth. Of every desirable prize, she is empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts and the knees shake. Much pain is in every side, and all their faces are drained of color.
Nahum 3:7, it says Nineveh is laid waste.
Yep.
And then Zephaniah 2:13. He will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness.
Yep, so all that was after Jonah.
Well, yeah. Well, it must have made it be nice if Jonah could have learned all that.
A little extra incentive there.
Right.
See, why am I doing this? I just got to.
But it does show that they had an opportunity.
Yeah, and it's kind of
like we're accountable after what Jonah brought.
Well, it's like a lot of the tribes, of Israel, that the couple generations would come back to the Lord and be sold out, and then two generations, three later, they were completely away from him, So I suppose the same thing happened with Nineveh. They held on probably for a couple generations and then faded away to their gods again and whatever, which is easy to do for, we know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. It is easy.
So God made Jesus, brought him out of the. You know, it's a funny thing, but in the book of Luke, when you, the divine genealogy, it starts with Joseph, and he was of the not the tribe, but something of David, Joseph was from David, and you can follow from Joseph all the way back to God. It doesn't do that in Matthew.
No, it goes the other way.
It's Abraham,
other
way. I think.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Mary is not even, I don't know, what tribe was she from? He was from David, but where was she from?
she might have been from the same...
Yeah, the tribe of Judah. But, you know, those genealogies are a little puzzling.
I know.
Yeah. First, A, they're different from each other. But there's maybe a suggestion one of them is actually Mary. You know, one that says Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now, maybe that, you know, there was some kind of impact that marriage had, and so it would have been her genealogy, but since she's married to him, they attributed it to Joseph. I don't know.
Well, she was a cousin to John's mother?
Elizabeth? Yeah, Elizabeth? Yes, I think so.
So what tribe were they out of? I wonder. Who was that?
Zacharias would have been the tribe of Levi. You know, he was a Levitical priest.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean that Elizabeth would have been. But I'm quite sure that they were all from the tribe of Judah. You know, it was...
Well, they say that... Well, it says that Jesus was from the tribe of Judah.
Right.
But then within the tribes, they had different lineages. But
And David was tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So.
So when Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, we're talking about him being born of a woman coming from Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he was, you know?
Well, and it says, out of your seed, David. So, David's seed, so it must have ran all the way down to Mary.
Yep, that's right.
For him to, because it says he'll be of your seed.
There is an awful lot about his genealogy and where his came from for being a god.
Well, anyway, from the scriptures, I'm beginning to see that, you know, as they were baptized into Moses, there's a reason for saying that. We were also baptized into Christ.
Mm.
As many as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And we're not talking about deity, we're talking about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Christ being anointed flesh, anointed man. That's what the word means. And so the church basically is baptizing, but they don't have a clue why or what they're doing. You know what I mean? They're baptized into the name of the Father and the Son. What's that mean? I used to think, what difference does it mean? Does it make? It does make a difference. God wants us to understand some things, and he wants us to understand this. And if he didn't want us to understand it, it wouldn't be in the scriptures.
Right.
We wouldn't have so much information. And I didn't know how it would be affected after we got the room kind of built pretty well. But you know what? Now I'm excited. I'm excited because I feel like this is something that God wants us to do. And I'm not sure about a lot of things like it, but it turned out better than I thought.
Oh.
You know?
Everything fell in place so nice?
Yeah.
I did find a rug, too. My contribution.
I told Cliff about it. I said, we get it done here. I have Shelley send a couple of pictures to him on the phone, on his phone. He called me again this morning. He finally got that picture. He said, that is quite a picture. You know, the one of the scripture in John.
Oh, yeah.
3:4. Mm. Is that right?
I think so.
And anyway, he's that radioactive when he saw it. So I was glad to know.
Hmm.
That is good. That's quite a verse.
It is. Yeah.
You know, you could hear God saying that. I have no greater joy. It doesn't mean he doesn't have great joy, but I mean, it's like, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. If we are to have to receive a love for the truth, where do you receive it? Don't you receive it from God?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you get it from the Word, however you get it? That's the way you get it from God. And if He gives the truth and you don't receive it, that, is that kind of trouble in the line somewhere?
You know, once you're a little bit tuned into the whole notion of truth and how important it is to God and so forth, the Bible's full of it. It keeps, once you're tuned into that, Gene and I read the Bible in the morning, you know, or in Exodus and then Jeremiah. Jeremiah, those people just did not have any appreciation for the truth.
No.
And it, about that. That's it. You know, they just don't, there's no love for the truth going on there. And, but it's a theme. It's a big theme.
Yeah.
It's funny how, you know, once you're tuned into something, you keep seeing, you know, same with Jesus being a man, you know.
When Pilate asked Jesus, he said, "What is the truth?" You know, when you realize what he was saying, it's like, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? What is the truth? You know, I'm the king. What I see is the truth. I'm the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows the truth, I do. Is that not where a lot of them are? Mm-hmm.
I'm a little down on my sister's approach, but her response was a lot like Pilate's. It's truth.
Yeah, it's truth stuff. You're supposed to be helping people.
Yeah, right. I wanted to hear true things.
Jeff called me today and he says, "Who is Pat?"
No.
He heard Pat on the.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, you want to know who she was.
But, I mean, you know, if you're not tuned into it, well, how are you?
Yeah.
I can blame neither Pilate nor Pat. But,
yeah, and it's, you know, I never really thought that much about it over the years either.
No.
You know, you said the other day something about, you know, baptisms.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what that is. I don't think you do either, the way you said it.
No, I don't.
And,
but I'm getting to it.
Right. You know, I happened to come across Matthew 28:19. And, you know, baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what is your guys' understanding of the scripture as in, like, did Jesus not say that, or the scripture was manipulated through the years? Where are you guys at with this scripture?
I think it was added to it and take it from or whatever else. Somewhat.
Well, where I came at it from was the name. Not names.
Okay, no. Yeah, that's your understanding. But the written word, and going to the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Did Jesus, in fact, say that or not?
Do you
believe that he said that?
I don't think he did.
Well, I have something to say on this.
I'm going to take that. No. I mean, is it a yes or iffy?
I don't think he said it. I don't think he said it.
There is, in that book, I don't know where it is. The one about Jesus, the humanity of mm-hmm. Christ that Jeff Collier had sent here. It's it attacks it in a kind of an academic, natural angle. But there are some good things in that book.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought I'd return it to you. It's around someplace, Pete, but I don't know.
I think it's here, but I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, what it said, and it's got all the scriptures that are questioned, you know.
Okay.
You know. What it said was that one of the very early church fathers quotes Matthew 28:19 and says, in the name of Jesus. He doesn't say, it's none of this Father, Son, Holy Ghost stuff. It's just, in the name of Jesus. They went on to explain that the manuscript that they use for the Bibles here all came from Alexandria, which was a hotbed of Trinitarian stuff. So eventually someone came along and changed. Changed it. So what, you know, the original Matthew 28:19 would have said, based on what this guy, this Eusebius, was quoting. He quoted it in the name of Jesus. Someone fixed it.
Right.
Some Trinitarian fixed it.
So did Jesus in fact say that or not?
I think the idea of truth is one that permits a, gosh, I don't know on that one.
Okay.
For some reason or other, the Holy Spirit saw fit to have the Bible that we have right now include that. And if I were the Holy Spirit, I would have not permitted that. But the Holy Spirit's a little better than I am at some of these things. It is just one of the things that we have to sort out for ourselves in some kind of way.
So the guy who wrote this book, so he had all these questionable scriptures. See, all these questionable scriptures are all the ones that don't agree with my personal doctrines. Those are always questionable. You know what I mean? So Shelly, where are you at with 2018? Did Jesus in fact say what is written in our Bibles? Do you believe that he did, or you believe he didn't?
I believe that he didn't.
Okay.
Actually, what I recall from Bible college, and I have to go back, was that in some manuscripts that was amended. And whether you can prove that or not, I don't know. And so, for whatever reason, it's here, and maybe if you go to other manuscripts, you find that it is, that it's different. But I think that's where, because there have been manuscripts that have been altered, and if they were influenced by this doctrine or that doctrine, because people being people, I think that's where you have to go to the tenor of Scripture. I just think that you have to. If there were 20 of them, then I would say, but since that seems to be the one everyone stubs their toe on, And if there is another manuscript that just has Jesus, that's what so many other scriptures say. So, if I were a betting woman, I'd say no.
I don't know that there are other manuscripts that, I think there's not much controversy on that one. But except for this Eusebius thing, and I assume that that's, But again, hey, the Holy Spirit permitted it.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going to throw up an argument. Mm-hmm. See, I think somebody could have put that in. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does, though, is gives you all the scriptures that don't support that. That's where the Holy Spirit stays with the truth. So, like, if something like this gets put in there, but what does the Holy Spirit teach? Well, Jesus started showing us that they all baptized in Jesus' name. So, it's kind of like the message from the Holy Spirit still in there.
Right.
Whether this got maybe turned a little bit or something. You know?
I believe that too. No. And yet we have a God who permitted the manuscript to be in the condition that it is, you know, Matthew 28:19 to be in there. And so, but no, I think you're right. The better way of looking at the whole thing is through the tenor of Scripture.
And there is the support. So.
Yeah, there's
but why is this a conflicting Scripture? Why cannot we believe it? What does Matthew 28:19 say that we don't believe?
It's not consistent with the tenor of Scripture.
Like how so?
Because there are 20 other instances in which baptism is always in the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Okay, so actually it's only a couple. It's in Acts, baptizing in the name of Jesus, and then in the name of Jesus. And then they say baptize. Well, you know, that's not even the point. Anyways, see, I feel like that is my, I don't know, duty, but my responsibility before the Lord to believe that Jesus, in fact, said that. Because it's in my Bible that God put in my hands. And it's also, and if I was going to borrow somebody else's Bible, that's the, so regardless if it, of anything, see, what is truth, really? What is it? But I am obligated, I feel, before God to believe that that's exactly what Jesus said. And I feel safer to believe that Jesus said that than to question it.
Okay. Now, and that makes sense, and I have no business telling you, Pablo, no, you're wrong on that. No. I'm not going to do that. Let me say this, though, that I think truth is something a little different than factually correct information.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I would say this.
You'd like truth to be a lot of factually correct information.
Yep.
But if you insist on having the Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit on the basis that every single thing here is accurate, factual information, that you're barking up the wrong tree.
Right.
I think.
Yes. So, see, to me, the baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, does not go against anything that doesn't make Jesus a God in any way, in zero way. And what happens is because we come to the realization that Jesus is a man, not God, and because Trinitarians use the Scripture so much to prove the Trinity, is that we want to push it away. But it does not prove the Trinity in any way.
You're right about that. I agree with that.
So, anyways, I wonder, because, you know, Jesus says, he told one of the disciples, are you able to be baptized with baptism? I'm like, he said, well, yeah, I'm able. And he's not talking about the baptism of repentance, you know, like John the Baptist. You know, there's baptisms. I wonder, now, this is not something I believe, but I wonder if when Jesus says, baptize him in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the in the name of Jesus. And then we say, why did they baptize in the name of Jesus when Jesus said baptize him in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Because what Jesus was speaking, I wonder if what Jesus spoke at the end of Matthew was not talking about the baptism that we are going to be doing or that John the Baptist did. It's not just the baptism of repentance in submerging water. The baptism in the name of the Son is what we do, underwater, right? That's the baptism in the name of Jesus, underwater. The baptism, and we know the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Or don't we? So that's the name of the Son. is the baptism of, you know, under submersion. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. So I wonder, is there a baptism of the Father or in the name of the Father? So when Jesus is saying, baptize him in these three names, I don't think he's saying the equivalent of the baptism of John the Baptist or the baptism of, that is being done in Acts 2. I wonder if there's there is baptisms, you know, under the cloud and under Moses, and why and if this scripture is in fact truth, there's a baptism in the name of the Father that we don't know about.
I agree with you that it doesn't prove the Trinity, it doesn't prove the divinity of Christ. However, it is kind of a problem to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost when what you want to do is do the very same thing that happened with Jesus, namely be buried
right. And
then resurrected.
Right.
For that baptism to have that kind of significance, being just like Jesus,
right,
to be, you know, buried and resurrected as he was, calls for, you know, the Father and the Holy Spirit,
right.
And there confuses all
right. That.
You know,
that's the baptism in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Okay.
Yes,
so we got two left.
Okay.
In the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Well,
and in the Father.
John says, and the one that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
And fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
But it's
now,
Jesus.
I'd be a little surprised if it's a reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, namely speaking in tongues, that Jesus there in Matthew 28:19. It's a little going forth and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is a baptism in the Holy Spirit,
right?
Evidence by speaking in tongues. It's a. I suppose that could be a reference to, and be sure they speak in tongues too.
Tossing things. I'm just wondering if we need to give Matthew 28:19 a chance.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's a throw in there. It's used by Trinitarians, and they add that the three are one, the one are three, and it's used as that's kind of their, that's their argument. And I think that that's, you know, maybe why there's that resistance to it, because it seems to be their formula for the Trinity. And I just looked at a couple of different references where they're saying, Acts 2:38, baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 8:12, the name of Jesus Christ were they baptized. Acts 8:16, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10:48, Acts 19:5, Acts 22:16, Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27, baptized into Christ. And so you see that there's that baptism in Jesus Christ, and then the one oddball is the Matthew 28:19, and whether there's a little bit of discussion whether it was added in later or if it was amended later, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but I think looking at in the book of Acts, they were baptized in Jesus' name, you know. And so,
okay,
whether
so
Matthew,
but,
I don't know, count there. Was that 8 or 9?
But I am not saying that the Matthew 28:19 is the equivalent, is the same baptism that Jesus was talking about when they baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying
Well, let me see,
they baptized in the name of Jesus.
You got to read the whole verse, though.
Okay.
Go therefore and make disciples.
Okay.
Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of. So, to be a disciple, you have to be saved. So
yeah,
it's repentance.
Yeah.
So it's still the same baptism.
This in there too. 1 Corinthians 1:13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And so, they're tying baptism to dying, the crucifixion, and that you are baptized. You're not baptized in Paul, you're baptized in Christ. Did Paul die for you? And so really tying it right back into that death and burial and the resurrection, you know?
Yes.
Tying it back to that.
Okay, I'm definitely not being understand, like, for sure, because I'm not,
okay.
What I'm saying, okay, so in from Acts on, they're baptizing in the name of Jesus, correct? But it's when Jesus, in Matthew 28:19, Jesus is not referring to what they did in Acts.
How do you know? He is somewhat.
He is somewhat.
Well, well, if you go by
your point is that you believe it somehow different.
Whatever.
Yes, that is there is a baptizing in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the one of the Son is the one that is being done in, from Acts on.
Water baptism. Yeah.
Water baptism. So I'm not saying Jesus is saying, I'm baptizing with the water baptism, and he said, instead of saying that, he said, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What occurs in from Acts on, I'm saying that maybe it's not what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 28:19. So he's not referring to that baptism only.
Well, where in the scripture is he referring to a different baptism?
There is baptisms, and the baptisms that they do in Acts will be the one in the name of 28:19 from the name of the Son, in the name of Jesus.
Okay, where's the baptism in the name of the Father?
I don't know.
Well, have you read
baptism in the Holy Spirit?
There is. So we have the Son. We have this one on the Son, which is in the name of Jesus. We have the baptism, the second baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I don't know where the one of the Father is. But that's what I'm saying, because we've been resistant to the scripture, because it's a weapon of a Trinitarian, we make it void, and it is in the Bible, and I'm not saying I have a doctrine. I'm just saying we need to give the scripture a chance and not just throw it out away, because it is in fact here, and it's in our in all of our Bibles.
Yeah, I follow what you're saying, and there is there's validity to your point here, Pablo. I will say this. I can't conceive of what a baptism in the Father would be.
I have no conception either.
I mean, baptism, that immersion and coming out, being full of, that's, I don't know, maybe I drank the Kool-Aid for too long, but...
But how many?
It's just what happens in connection with Jesus.
But how many things we haven't been able to conceive until lately?
Fair enough. If there is any scripture that would, in any way, hint at a baptism in the name of the Father, so baptized into the Father or the Creator or the whatever, I'd be interested. I think the Bible just doesn't have that.
See, just like right now, all of a sudden we are starting to see all these scriptures about baptism that doesn't even say baptized, but when all of a sudden we can associate to baptism, But
and I can't rule out that all of a sudden there'll be things popping up about the baptism of the Father. Until that day, I prefer to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yes, I'm not saying let's not be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, right.
If I was going to baptize someone today, say, I will baptize you in the name of Jesus. I will not say I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By no means, because that's just not what it is. I will baptize him in the name of Jesus, of course. And Jesus will baptize him with the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying in 28:19, there's two baptisms that are being
Well, I take a different lesson from what appears in Matthew 28:19 than you do. But I'll concede the reasonableness, the strength of what you're saying. You're right. You got a point. Hey, it's in the Bible. Come on. I believe, that's legitimate, reasonable point. What I, and maybe I'm just repeating what I said before, but when we are faced with those kinds of difficulties, I see the Holy Spirit saying, is this a deal breaker for you? And my answer is no. I can live with this kind of fundamental inconsistency. Lord, it's not a deal breaker. I, whatever the truth is, you know, I'm buying it.
Yeah.
And we don't have an opportunity if everything's perfect to be able to answer that question. Is this a deal breaker? And to say no, there is a bigger thing than factually consistent, having them all lined up just perfect, all the ducks all lined in a row. The way in which you are great and the way that you are true is better, it's bigger than having ducks lined up straight.
You know, it's definitely not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
By no means. But see, when I ask around about this scripture, you, Shelley, I don't know, Ken, mm-hmm. like, well, I have some information outside of the Bible. You know, blah, 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 blah. I don't know that I want to put my faith and belief on information that I've gathered from outside of the Bible. You know what I mean? And
You're quite right. If it's in the Bible, then that's where it is. It's in the Bible.
So I kept putting the question out, well, it doesn't say names. It says, what is the name? And I just got that in my head.
I didn't go to extra biblical sources, but I did.
But so I was going, well, actually, you know what? I can't. Well, yeah, you can find out that, like Hosea, the prophet, there's what their name means. And there's Joshua, Hosea, there's about four of them. They all mean salvation. Well, how do you get salvation? By repenting, right?
And lots of other ways. I mean, that and believing in Jesus, loving
you
get all your heart,
a crucial step is repentance. It might not be.
I mean, you got to believe in Jesus and then repent, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have salvation. Yep. Well, Jesus, the name, his name, the derivative that comes down, is God is salvation. Or it just says salvation, you know. So that kind of, for a little bit, helped me. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to be looked at. But, you know, whatever. There's red letters that supposedly what Jesus said that do not line up. So that's where men made the red letters,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, here it's saying Jesus said, go into, you know.
Right.
All authority, in heaven, that's go there for. So, you know. Whatever. I'm not going to lose sleep over it, I know that.
Yeah. I am intrigued by the notion of there being a baptism in the name of the Father, or what that would entail, and what would be derived from that.
See,
you know?
He says that we are conceived by the Word. You know, I don't know that could tie up the conceived by the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, or born of the Holy Spirit, and all these things. Well, tie as much to Jesus as to the Father. After the Father is the Word, you know, in the beginning was the Word, but it was God. No, but
see, the Holy Spirit, well, here's the other one for me. The Holy Spirit is God. He is Spirit. God is Spirit, and He's holy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, it says, John says Jesus will baptize you, but God is the one that said, I will send my Spirit.
You know,
through Jesus, by my son, you know.
No, Jesus says, on the Holy Spirit, whatever he hears, he will tell you. So where's God?
Yeah, you brought that up once before.
Where's he hearing from?
And I do not have a total handle on
God is the Holy Spirit.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, I know the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I mean, he and I are friends.
Right.
But I sure don't know him. I mean, I don't know where he fits in the whole deal. I really don't.
It's
his relation to the Father and the
Creator. The Spirit of God.
Yeah, right.
It's the Spirit of God.
And I'm satisfied with not knowing it. Yeah.
Well, within the Spirit of God, I mean, I'm sure he can imply that his spirit, he spoke to his own spirit, whatever, I don't know, because it doesn't make sense to have a separate Holy Spirit, you know? It wouldn't fit anywhere.
And the Holy Spirit is the one that overshadowed Mary.
That's right. Right, which was God.
And God called him his son.
That's right. God the Father is.
Yeah.
Was the Father.
So, you know, in the way of the where, yeah.
But there is, I mean, there are certainly scriptures which form some kind of odd distinction, you know, between the Holy Spirit.
And maybe Jesus is referring to the fact that it all comes from the Father, period. You know?
It all comes from the Father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus knows how to talk about the Father, though. He does that plenty.
Yeah.
And then other times he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and there seems to be something kind of.
We know that Jesus is not God.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet some of the translations, within the translation, they will say that he is God. Right within the translation, and so I mean we've got a messed up world today.
Although Pablo makes a legitimate point
when
he says that the manuscript says the baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
You know, it says a lot of places it says Jesus our Savior, but then it says God our Savior.
Yes, no problem.
And God said he was Savior way back in the Old Testament. Right. He also said he was a king. You know, so in that one scripture where it looks like it's talking about Jesus, I believe it's talking about the Father, because it says King, immortal, da da da. So, you know, it's like, so because God is in charge of it all and controls it all, you know, maybe he's just saying, through my Father, but baptized in my name, because that's what he wanted done.
For years and years and years, I was a King James addict. You know, and whatever said is what I went by. And then I discovered something. I started understanding that there's a lot of good translations. But what happened is so many of them, they have been changed to fit the Trinitarian beliefs. And one of them says, and some of them says, and Jesus Christ, who himself is God.
It's yeah, right. There in John,
well,
chapter
if
1.
If somebody reads that. If somebody reads that and doesn't know the difference, they don't even see all these other scriptures. And then God chooses foolish things to confound the wise. You know, if they want to believe a false doctrine, he'll give them a reason.
So in that particular case, I mean, you go to other 100 translations, and it won't be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, you know.
Yeah, it's the newer ones are put in that thing about God, or Jesus, who was himself God.
Who is himself God.
Yeah.
Because they believe in God, God the Son.
And I think there is a manuscript that is considered quite reliable that came from, but then there's
a lot of these manuscripts were put together after the Trinity was formed.
Oh, they were, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have a mess.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I take a lesson from that. I take a lesson from that mess. And that is that truth is not lining the ducks up in a row.
No,
you know,
it is not.
It is.
No.
It
and
is.
You know,
it is not.
It says in John 16:13, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth.
That's right. Yeah.
You won't necessarily find it exactly, and even in one translation.
Yeah, it's not a matter of accurate multiplication table.
You slowly listen. You slowly listen. You slowly gain. And you grow.
Yes.
And
we're experiencing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if it matters, but in the second verse of Acts, it says, until the day in which He was taken up, this is speaking of Jesus, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen. And then God prophesied in the Old Testament, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, you know, prophesy, visions, maidservants, and I will pour out My Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So, you know, God's Spirit is the one that's working.
For me, I see the Bible full of Easter eggs. You know what I mean by Easter? You know, they got this funny little hint that you catch in video games. Mm-hmm. You know, Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. You know, those funny little things that kind of indicate something if you're tuned in, and, you know, if you're, I suppose, spiritually attuned. And it is giving us a scheme as to what we're to do with this thing. You know? And among those Easter eggs are these things that just plain cannot be worked out in any reasonable way. It just can't be.
No.
But still, is it true? Is it a deal breaker? No, it's not.
I wasn't listening. So now we got Easter eggs in on this.
You're in there, Ken. Keep looking.
You know, my bigger point.
I wasn't listening totally, though, so I don't. Yeah. I'm just going to shut up.
Well, it's a computer term. You're right. You know,
You know, my bigger point, you know, this is that we need to leave our what we think we believe. And
that is totally religion.
And not skip over things that don't agree with our personal doctrines.
Yes.
Because who is to say that everything that we believe is right?
Uh-huh.
And immediately after Matthew 28:19, there's like precious information that, but because, you know, Matthew 28:19 is so, you know, of the devil, that we are missing, you know. All authority.
And heaven forbid that we should do that.
You know, in heaven and on earth. You know, right? Well, therefore, you know, teaching them. So this is what we teach. To observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, teach them to observe what I have commanded you.
I think it is wrong to come up with some quick, easy answer to these things, and just we certainly accuse other churches of doing that. So,
if there's
some indication that we're doing the same thing, then shame on us.
It's interesting that Matthew said that because he thought he heard Jesus say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Mark said he heard, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And then it says, "These signs will follow those." And that's all he says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what didn't he hear?
Matthew had bad ears, that's all.
Somebody that must not have been listening or something. I don't know. I mean, that, because there's those,
Mark,
that's, and we've, there's lots of places where one disciple, or I mean, one, the guys that write the books, Luke he was a disciple, not an apostle. So, but where they had varying, you know, different things that.
Yeah, but there, when we read that, somebody will not say something, but not say something wrong. One disciple will omit certain things, and the other will do extra. But at not any point, one said Jesus jump, and then the other one says Jesus ate dinner.
There are totally inconsistent.
Yeah, with
ones.
Judas,
well,
but
hey,
with Judas,
there's the rooster crow once or the rooster crow twice.
Yeah,
come on, you know, there are those difficulties.
Yeah,
there.
But I mean, what a rooster does in comparison to baptism is a lot.
Yeah, but careful.
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Therefore, I will believe both of them.
It was one and a half rooster.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so anyway. Yeah.
I really believe it's an Easter egg.
Right.
It's in there to give us some kind of hint for discerning what this truth business is all about. And it's something a little different than having all the mathematical equations work out.
Right.
It's a different deal.
I've been saying that forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Story 100%.
And I call it an Easter egg. Maybe Ken has a little trouble with that. But
I'm not into computers, evidently. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm not either. I just know people call me. But it gets the idea across. It's some little, if you're really watching out, you'll see this thing in here, and it'll give you a hint as to what you know. But you really have to be tuned in, Anyway. I have a little something to share.
Point made, though, Pablo. Point made.
Is there?
No.
Yeah, the kind of.
You guys want some more?
Not like that. No.
Yeah, I guess we kind of said it, didn't we? I read some atheist or unbeliever or whatever that was trying to explain Jesus walking on water. And they claimed that he set up this deal where, to just be able to impress everybody, Well, that's wrong on a couple of counts. A, it's not true, But B, when Jesus walked on water, he only did it in front of the disciples. He didn't do it for the masses.
Right.
It was just, and there are certain things that Jesus did for the masses.
Right.
Other things that he did solely for the disciples. And walking on water was one of them. And that wasn't the truth for the masses. The fact that, now there is a, healing, there is a God who will fix what needs to be fixed in this bad world. Healing is a message for the masses. But walking on water,
there's another point to that.
It's a different deal.
He would have had to build a platform all the way from one side of the sea out to where because he wasn't with them.
How
far was it? A few miles.
They had left way before him.
Atheist guys, the guy. Sure, I said that's a great miracle. You can stand a spirit and all the way there. Was it a night or so?
Yeah, and in a little boat they carried enough lumber to make a path for him all the way from shore out to where they were.
Yeah, and then they had a storm going on too.
Yeah,
that's a great miracle. So man, you really got it going on in here.
Yeah.
I've heard other ones like the sea was so thick or something that he could walk on it. The density of the salt, I don't even know. It's just stupid.
It's a whole lot. Somebody made it up would be a better answer for that. Some explanation, for that. But I was thinking of that distinction between miracles that were for everybody and then miracles that were just for the disciples. You know? And another one that was just for the disciples was when he tells them to cast the net on the other side.
Yeah.
You know? And it struck me, you know, you're operating in the natural, the flesh man or whatever, on the one side of the boat. When Jesus tells you to go on the other side, you're operating in the spirit. And that's where you're going to catch the fish. You know, it's this distinction between the old man or the natural man and the spirit man.
Who were the, it was Peter, John, and who that went up on the mount when Elijah showed up? Who?
James.
Who? Huh?
James. Yeah, that's another one. That's
yeah.
One.
So, you know, he was doing things always to give them foundation, you know, to tie them into him, you know.
We didn't have any big crowds watching what occurred in the Mount of Transfiguration.
No, and he didn't want them to tell anybody either until later.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. He didn't, and it wasn't even 12 of them. It was just
three. Okay. So,
yeah.
James was the first one killed.
And I think there are truths that are not intended for everyone, at least not right away. Maybe someday there'll be I still, your dream or vision or whatever it was can involve you walking on water. And I may not have understood it fully, but too bad. I got my understanding of it.
Yeah, well.
So you said it, and I may have misheard it, but I nonetheless came away with and that is, somehow or other, it really, that occasion, what I took it to be, was impactful.
How did you take it?
That, no, this is going to be a real deal, whether it occurs literally or whatever. I mean, this isn't just some story, and it's something in store for us. You know, that the level of the faith.
Right, that's what it was all based on, was faith.
Yeah, right.
And it was kind of like, it was different because it wasn't a choppy, wavy body of water. It was smooth, you know. So it would be like, it'd be like walking on glass almost.
Well, I would rather walk on smooth water.
And that other part of that dream was really goofy. I got that part of it, and faith, and then all of a sudden it was like I was flying up, say like a huge side of a cliff or something, full, but it was all wooded. Flying up, and then it was like, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And that was it, you know. It was, I don't know what,
soaring
that, you know.
Wings of eagles kind of or something?
I don't know. It was just like I was all of a sudden, I was just going up, and all I could see was, I knew I was going up past a wall, like in front of me, of trees.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was right, like coming off of the water going up or something. I don't, you know. So I don't know the truth. I didn't get a real true sensation of what that part of it necessarily had, but
that didn't have much impact on me.
Yeah, right. I know. But that's probably the only dream I've ever had, I think.
I never have had.
I had
a vision or
Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." And so the secret of the whole thing is to consume all the words, even different translations. You know what I mean? Some of the translations are better than the King James in the areas, but I don't know where. I don't necessarily know when, you know. The King James is not the necessarily the best translation.
I think the effort that they put into the NIV, New International Version, there was a bunch of people who were working real hard with the very best manuscripts with the full range of all the manuscripts. Now, that sounds like kind of natural effort.
I had the NIV for years.
Uh-huh. And I think it is a very reliable rendering of it after the manner of man.
Yeah. But afterwards, after I went to the New King James, it just seemed to me like there was just things that were tweaked in the NIV.
Yeah,
you know? Any translation, it's spirit, right? It's not letter.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. We shouldn't get caught up on looking here.
No.
Because it's the Holy Spirit that's got to show you the truth.
I don't know if this group applies directly to this, but when somebody asks Jesus something and Jesus says, well, what does your reading of the law says? You know what I mean? So, what does your reading say? And then God will honor that. I mean, what does your reading say? That's what Jesus said. What does your reading say? He said, well, what does that, I got a book. No, he said, what does your reading say? So, this is my reading. So, if God said, well, you know what? That's a mistake there. You're going straight to hell. I said, no. I mean, this is, he's going to honor. He put this in my
head. It's not saying maybe what is your interpretation of this?
No. I'll find it.
No, I know, but I mean, I know he's saying.
Oh,
reading,
what is your reading? Us like, what is your understanding? Of
yeah, this? What is your understanding?
No, because he just quoted it verbatim. Let me just show you what's reading.
I've read that, but
let me find out where it is. Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's possible. Yeah, maybe.
Because then what? It, when he gives it to him, that does he?
I think it's just the commandments.
Well, the guy doesn't answer, and Jesus say, oh, you've said well, or whatever.
Who knows? I mean, hold on a second.
You got pads and pillows everywhere today. You got pads and pillows everywhere today.
It's an experiment. Every couple of days, tweak this.
To give
that.
Your head more support, maybe, huh?
Yeah. Trying a little bit of this.
Yeah.
Some good days and then some wake up and just a little off.
Yeah,
10:26.
Might be a little value in something different, too. Just the very end.
Well, why don't they do? We got to kind of put those pews back.
Yeah, I know. When we get through hauling everything in and out, we could put them on that other wall.
My New King James says, Jesus says, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. So he was reading, actually, that was an understanding, that was actually quoting. So it was, what does your reading of it saying? Whatever book you have in your hand is your reading. So
that word reading might have a little bit of meaning suggested. What is your interpretation, or how do you take this? What's your understanding of it?
That if you read some other translations, they might.
So with different translation, what is your understanding of it through the Holy Spirit?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That might be. Yeah. Shelley, do you have any view on the NIV vis-a-vis the King James?
Because you hear things, and sometimes it's the word was made flesh, the word became flesh. You can get, I think, a little stuck on some of that.
Right.
That's where I listen to mostly King James just because that's what I grew up on. But I've got a lot of the New King James and the NIV, and I'll listen that Dwell app. I listen to different voices, and it will be the different versions. And sometimes you do hear something that just seems revelatory. I don't know. I think that God's going to do what he's going to do, because the Spirit of Truth has to teach you anyway.
Right.
And so, and I just believe that it's going to be a stronger force than some words on a page. And if I desire the truth, and if I ask for the truth, that's what he's going to give me.
I gave a scenario.
That's right.
Could you listen to the whole Bible in Spanish and get truth if you don't speak Spanish? You know?
I don't know. What do you think, Pablo?
I mean, if we took it right to the nth degree of the Holy Spirit teaching.
Well, it's like speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
It says you're edified.
Yeah.
And I, you know, your spirit's edified. So with that, I'd say.
I'm thinking that'd be quite a stretch.
All things are possible. On the other hand, we should not be tempting God either.
Yeah. But if you were stuck somewhere and that's all you had,
sure.
Who knows? I don't know.
Your spirit was just edified.
But obviously it makes more sense in a language you understand.
Right.
You know. I wouldn't know. I think that's to me to have, like you knowing two languages. It's got to be.
Do you listen in Spanish?
No.
Yeah, but you know you've like some things that you've said. That it, in Spanish they say it like this.
Yes,
this sounded really. I mean, it gave such a good description.
Yeah. I don't know. I've listened. First of all, I've spoken in English, or whatever you call it. Whatever it is that it's coming out of my mouth.
English.
Right. I've spoken in English for 22 years. That's longer than I spoke in Spanish, and I didn't speak the first couple of years of my life, so way longer.
Yeah.
And I did at the beginning when I started listening, I thought, hey, Spanish, but no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Huh.
No, I bought one.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I started listening to King James, first with all the owls and all that, and I had no problem understanding whatsoever. But then reading it was harder, way harder to read. So that's why I went to New King James. They just eliminate all the English.
Yeah.
I wonder if that wasn't a work of the Spirit. Your having Spanish first place not work for you, because you are to be of us, an English speaking.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, conceivably, you know, Ken, you get a little different understanding, a little different angle if it were in Spanish.
You know.
So there might be some value in it in some way.
When I went to Chile, all of a sudden, see, with you guys, oh, well, you know, Jesus here, and there, he didn't say that. But in Spanish, it's like, what is the word for?
You know, so it's your native, for the word. Huh?
So I took I bought a NIV or whatever, or New Kudos, in total Spanish to bring to Chile.
Oh.
Or I think maybe one, and then I have another one. I don't even remember what I have. That is a Spanish and English. Like, so
one page.
Column is in case I needed to, whatever. But it's not a problem.
Yeah.
A problem, really.
I went to when I was in Peru, visiting my sister in Peru, we went to a service. Evangelical church of some sort, you know. And I didn't get a whole lot out of it. But they kept talking about Señor.
Right.
Señor.
Right.
Señor.
Right.
And it somehow or other,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, calling Lord, mm-hmm. Señor, mm-hmm. It we got our own idea. But, you know,
right.
It's just it's a polite mister.
Right.
Know?
Right.
And recalling, yeah, that, it gave me a little bit of a new understanding or something about what that term Lord was.
Right, the Bible is full of places where they say Lord, meaning, you know, person of authority. Or better than me or whatever.
In Spanish, it'd be Señor.
Yeah. You know, about that, listening in Spanish, or kind of, not that it's not an answer, but I shared this in the past. When Martha was complaining about the cleaning and all the stuff. She cleaned and she chose the better part. So See, we play the scriptures and we go in our own business, right? But Mary or Martha, while she was cleaning and serving tables, couldn't have she gotten the same understanding by his Jesus was speaking in that room?
Listen it in. Huh?
So it there is, according to Jesus and that scripture, there's other that might say not so, but according to Jesus and that scripture, the better part is to sit and listen more than listening while you're doing something else. According to that setting only.
Well, I've got my own view on that one, too.
What version are you reading?
All right. I believe that she was basically griping about the unfairness of it all.
Oh, yes.
And Jesus has no sympathy with our complaining about things being unfair.
Yep.
I mean, it's a bunch of times.
Yep.
I'm not going to fix your will or whatever. You know, it's... and then the parable of the, you know, people harvesting there that came out in the fields, you know, 1 hour versus all the whole heat of the day. You know, he just fairness, hey, deal with it, Bella.
Right, you know. But besides that, though, in the scripture, Jesus is saying, no, the good part is to sit and listen, you know, saying, well, isn't it as good to listen from the other room, even if you don't hear nothing, while you're serving tables. So and Jesus says, you know, let this. So it's Spanish, so no, my answer will be no, but whatever. Jesus said, you know, let these words sink down into your ears. So through your processing or what, even though your brain has nothing to do with nothing, you do somehow, you know.
Of course, now, because we don't have Jesus sitting and talking to us, we have to listen differently than she did, because we have to have the Holy Spirit in giving us the truth of what we're hearing or reading. Mm-hmm. As long as you're not reading it to be studying to prove anything, you're just reading it, hoping that God will, you know, which he does.
It is true that Mary was giving it single-minded attention, whereas Martha would have to be, have be.
But later on, Martha had all the right answers too. You know,
she was multitasking.
And then Jesus said, "My word will not return void." Mm-hmm. And I guess God had a say in that, but in Old Testament. Whatever I send forth to do, it's going to accomplish. And so, however we hear it, we want to hear it. You know.
Yeah, hear it.
Yeah.
Just hear it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I probably should turn that off.
Yeah. Thank you. A little back and forth, goofy, running around different issues, but...
That's so good.
No, it's in my hand.